Hello, this is Claudia, reporting on the Hill Tell podcast, live from Washington, D.C. On today's podcast, we will be discussing diversity and inclusion in higher education institutions and examining the struggle of students of color on these campuses. Diversity has become a staple term that you're guaranteed to hear on any college campus. According to the Race and Ethnicity in Higher Education Status Report by the American Council on Education, students of color make up 29.6% of the undergraduate student population in 1996. As of 2016, that number has increased to 45.2%. Many industries, including the education system, show strong interest in increasing diversity to make sure our country has a culturally competent workforce that is able to succeed and capitalize on the talents, contributions, and perspectives of diverse backgrounds. However, despite strides in the right direction, many areas of higher education continue to see students of color being underserved and underrepresented. For example, the Race and Ethnicity in Higher Education Status Report found that too many Black students fare poorly in post-secondary education. Among both graduate and undergraduate programs, improvements in Black students' enrollment were accompanied with the lowest persistence rates and highest dropout rates. The reality of it all is that nationally, an abundance of Black, Latino, and Asian American students feel marginalized on campus, especially ringing true for these populations enrolled in predominantly white institutions, or PWIs. In 2014, Inside Higher Education surveyed college and university presidents on campus climate. According to those surveyed, 90% of college presidents thought their campuses were good or excellent when it came to racism. Lawrence Ross, author of Blackballed, The Black and White Politics of Race on America's Campuses, credits this to the school's lack of awareness of having a problem. Though we see an increase in diversity numbers in these institutions, we also see a lack of inclusion and retention of these diverse populations on campus. From racially motivated hate crimes to being the only student that looks like you in your class, many PWI campuses' climates do not allow students of color to enjoy their collegiate experiences in the same scope as their peers. Dr. Crystal A. D. Gregory, a national expert on historically Black colleges and universities, said minority institutions were created to offer access, share power, and actualize power for these students. Contrastingly, she says the PWIs were about preserving power and denying access to people that did not belong. When we see these institutions were created on a foundation of exclusion, many question students' choice to attend PWIs instead of minority institutions. Ross argues they, students of color, don't deserve systemic racism due to the fact that they go to predominantly white institution. They're not owned by white people, it's just predominantly white. This idea that students of color should attend HBCUs and other minority institutions to avoid this unwanted, unconnected feeling is unethical. It furthers the notion that white supremacy and systemic racism are unbreakable and should be settled for. So we decided to get the inside scoop on being a student of color at a PWI from Tyler Dixon, Cornell student.
My name is Tyler Dixon. I am in the School of Industrial and Labor Relations at Cornell University, and I'm the part of the class of 2021.
Okay. So what made you choose to go to Cornell?
I didn't intend to go to Cornell, but after I visited, I changed my mind and decided to accept my offer. The campus was really nice, and the Cornell name made me want to go there more. I did more research on the school itself, and then I decided, okay, there's a lot of opportunities here. And I really like the ILR school because it only exists at Cornell, so it's unique to the school.
So did the fact that Cornell is a PWI detract you at all?
No, I actually didn't apply to any HBCUs.
So what were your initial thoughts about being a Black student at a PWI, specifically in Ivy League?
I didn't really have any thoughts until I actually started attending the school. Very early on, I struggled with like imposter syndrome and feeling like I didn't deserve to be there, or the admissions office made a mistake because all the other, white students and extremely privileged students, they seem to get the Cornell culture way faster than I did.
And then going off of that, what have your experiences been being a Black student at Cornell and specifically in ILR?
I feel like it's hard during group projects when you're the only black student. I participated in the intergroup dialogue project, and I was in the race group, so I had to do a project with other white students, and the topic was race and Greek life at Cornell, and it was very hard to make them passionate about the topic that we were working on because they don't understand what it's like being a person of color on campus. So there's some like barriers there when working in group projects sometimes.
Do you ever feel like the voice of black people in certain spaces at Cornell, and how does that make you feel?
Definitely, like I said before, in group projects I do. It gets tiring after a while having to explain to white students what it's like being black at Cornell, and I feel like I'm always repeating myself, so it gets frustrating sometimes, and it makes me not even want to really have discussions about race sometimes, but I realize that some people, you just have to educate them in order for them to know what's going on in cultures outside of theirs.
Okay. So how do you feel about campus climate specifically pertaining to race and diversity and inclusion?
I feel like people view Cornell as one of the better schools when it comes to issues with race, but I think the reason why that is because of a lot of the racism at Cornell is not obvious. Some of it is more systematic in a way. Things at Cornell are very expensive. Other students have stereotypes against other black students, so it's just not obvious racism. Like, there's not often that you see like slurs all the time. People aren't always calling you the N-word or anything. It's other forms of racism that are more hidden and hard to point out.
So you said before that you didn't apply to any HBCUs. Was there a reason that you didn't apply to any, or?
I think the reason why I didn't apply to, there was two reasons why I didn't apply to HBCU. The first reason was because I wanted a school that was still diverse and didn't only have one type of person, because me growing up, so half of my schooling, I went to an all-black school, and later on down the line, I went to a more diverse school, and I really enjoyed that. And then the second reason why I didn't apply to any HBCUs is because, and this is just something that is another form of systematic racism as well, is the criteria to get into HBCUs isn't set that high. So I thought, like, in talking to my mom about it, like, okay, I have to go to a better school because my grades are so high and these schools don't require as much.
So have you ever been questioned about your decision to go to a PWI over an HBCU?
Yes, definitely. I've been called a sellout sometimes and things like that from students at my high school. But going back to what I was saying before about systematic racism, it's just the sad truth that me going to a school like Cornell will get me very, very far, because of the resources are better. And HBCUs, they're not granted that. They don't have as good resources because of funding. So in order for me to get the most out of my degree, of course I would go to the Ivy League school to get where the resources are.
Okay. Do you think Cornell faculty and administrators have any idea of what the experience of being a black person at a PWI is, and specifically a Ivy League, is like?
I think some people do, but I don't think that a lot of professors choose to see it or talk about it or even think about it. There's been a few times where I've had white professors that actually like to talk about it, and it's been very refreshing. But those are usually professors who teach a course in an area like that.
Okay, so do you think that there are other systems in place for students of color or a black student specifically at Cornell, or do you think that more can be done to make sure that their experiences are a little bit better, or like making their time a little bit easier at the school?
I think there's more should be done. I definitely feel like for example, I fell in love with an intergroup dialogue project. I think it was a very good class, and I feel like some teachers could use that as well, because there's a lot of teachers I feel like turn a blind eye to the struggle that a lot of black students go through. So, especially first generation students too, I feel like a lot of teachers turn their heads to those students instead of really figuring out how to help them, because not every student requires the same thing.
understanding that many PWIs have like a foundation built on systemic racism, do you think it's even possible for many of these institutions to aid these students in these experiences for the students of color on their campuses?
I think it is, but that definitely takes a lot of time of getting rid of those faculty and staff who may be racist in any type of way. And then over time, Cornell can just start to keep faculty and staff that understand their students better and not put up with any faculty who choose not to help those students of minority groups.
So do you think having a diverse faculty base, whether it be like administrators or professors, is important to students of color? And have you been encountered by diverse faculty?
Yeah, I think that's very important, especially with advisors too, because they're the ones that's guiding you through your 4 years at college. And so if you don't have good guidance, then you're basically just, you're not getting the same opportunity that everyone else is getting. And I've had, so during my time at Cornell, I've had only one black professor, freshman year. And that class was in, it was a freshman writing seminar called Black Lives and Black Experiences. So kind of related to what I said before, usually these teachers who are diverse or white teachers who understand black students, it usually has something to do with the curriculum in that specific class.
And lastly, do you think that students of color should be limited to HBCUs and other minority institutions to escape this disconnection that they feel at PWIs?
Absolutely not. Because like I said before, some students may want to go to these more challenging schools. So why should they be limited the opportunity to go? And I also feel like if we do that in a way, certain racist faculty and racist students, you're letting them win because they don't have to put up with us. So I feel like they shouldn't be limited. I feel like any student should be able to go to whatever school they want to go to.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. As we continue to see rates of diversity on university campuses rise, we find that we need to make efforts in ensuring these students of color feel included on these campuses. It is not rare for a student of color at a PWI to walk in a classroom and see no one else that looks like them. For some students, this lack of representation and commonality can be a huge shock and can have negative impacts on their mental and emotional health and overall well-being. From imposter syndrome, feelings of inadequacy as if you're not supposed to be in your environment, to fear of asking for help and aid when needed, due to not wanting to look stupid and feelings of embarrassment. Many students of color feel the pressure on these campuses that have not been historically made or accepting of them. Many of these happenings can lead to lower participation, decreased success, and in some cases, dropouts. Because of this, it is imperative that higher education institutions around the nation put as much effort into programming and efforts for diversity as they do for efforts of inclusion. Diversity and inclusion go hand in hand. In 2019, it is no longer enough to invite students of color into these institutions. It is imperative that we give these students a seat at the table. By ensuring these students have a strong support network, equipping institutions with faculty and administration of color who understand the collegiate experience of these students and have the means to provide resources and a voice of power, and taking seriously complaints of discrimination, prejudice, and racism on campus, these institutions can take strides in ensuring they are breaking the walls of systemic racism and white supremacy in higher education. Though this issue is multifaceted, it is imperative that we begin to make strides in the right direction. This has been Cheetah Barre and Claudia reporting on the Hill to Hill podcast from Washington, D.C. Thank you for listening. Thank you.